This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, sailing into the weekend. We have all kinds of great questions and great stuff this hour. I do want to, before we get back to the questions, and it's about hair replacement and Epstein and all kinds of weird questions that you have, but I did want to point this bit out.
This woman here, Annie Tomasini, she's the former senior advisor to President Joe Biden. She was the third person set to appear before James Comer's committee. She has now taken the fifth. So the doctor, the aide to Jill Biden, and now Ms. Tomasini have all done the same behind closed doors.
There might be a lot of trouble on the horizon for the Democrats. There's not really any other way to put it. You already know the details. I mean, you suspected. They knew he wasn't functional. They lied and ran the country like animals. That's why it was so bad. That's why Joe Biden's presidency was so disastrous, so bad, because unchecked communists ran the United States of America. Now, they're all pleading the fifth. We might actually get some government government prosecutions. Don't want to get your hopes up again, but when Donald Trump has announced several times publicly that this is the largest scandal in 50 to 100 years, that's Donald Trump, what he's telling us publicly. What do you think he's telling Pam Bondi privately? If that's his public stance, that's basically him saying, you better do something with this. And it's a big deal. Anyway, Beaver Killer Kelly. Do you think the way President Trump is handling the Epstein file is a debacle that will kill the MAGA movement? I would love to see Vance as the next president, but I fear the MAGA movement will not survive this. No, I'm going to say something to you. It's going to sound insulting, but it's not meant to be. You are in a bubble. I am in a bubble. We are political people. We hoover this stuff up all day. I'm doing the same stuff you're doing. I'm reading. I'm watching stuff, figuring out what... You are in a political bubble. So am I. If you spend a lot of time on social media, on Twitter or Facebook or whatever it may be, arguing about politics, commenting on this, it's not that you're dumb, and it's not that your bubble is bad. We put ourselves in the bubbles we want to put ourselves in because that's what we enjoy. That's what we're passionate about. America, to some extent, does care about the Epstein stuff a little, but it's only a little. Trump's approval number came out again today at 52%. That's extremely high for this point in time in a presidency. 52%. America is happy. Deportations are happening. The border is secure. The manufacturing, some of it, is coming back. There is a feeling out there that the jobs market is getting better. And of course, it will be getting better when you're deporting people, a million self-deportations. Of course, that's going to open up new opportunities for Americans. I'm not telling you everything is hunky-dory and perfect. And I'm not telling you the Epstein stuff is wonderful. But bubble people like me, like you, we tend to overblow the importance of some stories. People vote on the dinner table issues. How are you? Are you paying the bills? Billy can't find a job. An illegal ran over my mother. You know, people vote on that kind of stuff. The Epstein stuff. I'm not saying at all that it doesn't matter. It does, and I get why it matters so much to you. But for the norms and normas out there who actually decide elections, they're quite pleased right now. I realize there is some infighting on Trump's base. You said the MAGA movement. There's some fighting about that, and fighting is good. Some people are saying, shut up and move on. Other people are saying, no, that sounds bad. All that stuff's fine. This too shall pass. This is not something that would kill the movement. You know what would kill the movement? It would take something gigantic, like amnesty. You know, Maria Salazar, calling for amnesty in Spanish from the Capitol steps.
I do believe that the president promised that the illegals who are criminals were going to be kicked out of the country. Now there is another mass of people who most of them are Hispanics who have been here for more than 5 years. They have been contributing to the economy, who do not have a criminal record. And those people are the ones who deserve some type of dignity.
And this.
Señor presidente. El mismo Dios que se lo salvó a usted de la muerte en Pensilvania hace solamente un año.
Buenos días. Sorry, Chris. Sometimes I just, my brain switches to Spanish and I forget that it's an English show. That would destroy the movement. That would destroy the Republican Party. By the way, the White House already came out and said, shut up, Maria. No, there's not going to be amnesty. So don't worry about that. They shot her down immediately on her stupid Dignity Act, her big amnesty act. But it would take something like that. That is what would kill the America First movement. It would splinter. It would be mass civil war. Something that ignorant, stupid, and evil. That's what would do it. And of course, courtesy of Maria Salazar, of course it would come from that moron.
You know, freedom is not free.
Jesse, if President Trump were on the flight list to Epstein Island, it would have been leaked long ago just to destroy our favorite POTUS. For that reason, I don't think there's a flight list. Wouldn't that make sense? Your opinion, please. Well, I've kind of covered this already, so I don't want to cover it again. Just being on Jeffrey Epstein's jet, even if you were, doesn't make you a criminal. The flight logs are public. You can go look at them. They're online. Go look at all the names. But flying on someone's private jet is not a crime. Even Jeffrey Epstein's. A bunch of people, I'm sure, didn't know what he was into. Jesse, love the show. Are you aware that there are clinics in Houston that can give you a full head of hair again? You need not look like a bald, gangly scarecrow any longer. It's a one-day procedure. They take your skin off your bat in your butt, off your back in your butt, and basically paste those hair follicles onto your head. It costs $10,000 and lasts a decade. Okay. First of all, I'm not paying $10,000 for virtually anything. And definitely, what do you think? Money grows on trees? If I were to go drop $10,000 on some stupid, unnecessary cosmetic surgery, my father, God rest his soul, would rise from the grave and come and just murder me. I would replace him. He'd rise from the grave and come kill me and put me back in his coffin. That's what he would do if I spent $10,000 on something that stupid. That's one. Two, I don't want butt hair on my head, even my own butt hair. Don't tell me you wouldn't think about that every single time you were showering. Don't tell me you wouldn't. Tell me you wouldn't do this immediately after that surgery. Scratch your head, and then you'd be like, I wonder if my fingers smell. Chris, you know what I'm talking about. Don't shake your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You'd be smelling your fingers. You would think, I know it's nasty. I didn't suggest it. He suggested it. Don't put that on me. He's the one who told me to put butt hair on my head. No, absolutely not. No. The only thing that would make that even slightly tempting is how horrified Ob would be. That would make it worth it. I would make sure I was constantly taking hairs out of my head and putting them in her sink and stuff like that. That'd be fun. Jesse, besides listening to your radio each day and reading your book, which I do and did as a welcome therapy, what do you suggest as a cure for the apathy and lethargy in the GOP party who sit as lazy and comfortable? People respond to pain. Remember, the United States of America has gone through some really, really, really rocky times because of the communists in recent years. Two of the big ones that stand out are COVID and the St. George Floyd protests. But those were bad moments. There's no question about it. All the death and misery and learning loss. We don't have to go into it. They were really bad. I know they're bad. You know them. We all know it. But those moments also woke a lot of people up. You know, let's focus on the George Floyd stuff real quick. The relentless, ongoing racial division and activism on the left, constantly poking and poking and tearing at the scabs, had been going on for years and years and years in the United States of America. To such a degree that, I mean, it was awful and evil, and it was tearing the country apart. They went all in on that for St. George Floyd. All in. Remember, they took Aunt Jemima off the pancake mix. They went all in on that. But what that kind of craziness did is it woke a lot of people up. And I see at least people on the right now, I see them bolder with their rejection of that stuff than I have ever seen in my lifetime. For the longest time, if you approached any Republican, especially an elected official, and called them a racist, they would start navel-gazing. Well, hold on. I've got some black friends, and you don't understand what I'm... Now, they're probably going to tell you you're a stupid idiot and get out of their face. That kind of spark pushed people to be off the couch, to get involved. How many mothers listening to the sound of my voice right now were so angry about all the school closure stuff from COVID, they got politically involved? There are lots of them. Lots of them. Moms got up and said, excuse me, you're harming my baby. No, sir. Anyway, I want to talk to you about Pure Talk. This is another thing we've been a lot better at. For most of my life, I'm about to be 44 on Sunday. My birthday's in 2 days. For most of my life, the right has taken the line that, well, I mean, I'm still going to eat here. Even though this company hates me, they have a delicious sandwich and I'm going to eat here anyway. We don't boycott like the left does. That pathetic stance. I'm never going to fight. Aren't you proud of me? No more. Now people are seeking out companies where they can take their business. They're taking money away from the Verizons, the AT&Ts, and the T-Mobiles, and they're going to Pure Talk. They're flocking to Pure Talk. Don't think you're the only one. Pure Talk's reputation precedes them. Wonderful customer service where you speak to an American who speaks English. They have all the new fancy phones, or keep your phone. Keep your phone number. And they're patriotic. They didn't give to Black Lives Matter. The other ones did. Switch today. Dial #250 on your phone and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are going to try to get through as many of your wonderful questions as we possibly can for the rest of the day. Dr. Jesse. Oh, never mind. That was the one I just read. Jesse, have you considered the possibility that New Yorkers chose Mamdani not because he was their preferred candidate, but because Cuomo was such an awful candidate? His name is Andy. Well, there's always some of that. There's always some of the voting for somebody, and there's always some of the voting against somebody. I get it. I understand that. But this Mamdani guy, he's not exactly been shy about the fact that he's a communist. Abolition of private property. I mean, the works. He said it all. He sounds like Karl Marx. He is public. He's all over social media. He had a fortune in the bank to spend on political ads. My point is that this isn't just about New York. This is about everywhere in the country. These are not unknown entities. It's very hard to be an unknown entity today because there's so much information out there on everyone. Everyone has a Facebook account or something like that. Everybody's always putting everything on social media all the time, which I don't understand. I do this for a living, and I hardly ever put that stuff on social media. But either way, he's known. If the people of New York, if the Democrats of New York, because we all know it's going to be a Democrat, if the Democrats of New York hear what Mamdani says, and they said, yeah, sign me up, and they go vote for him, then they're going to get what they deserve. It sucks. I hate it. I have watched, and this is not only a New York story, L.A., San Diego. I mean, I have watched all the cities that I have adored and do adore. I have watched them slowly rot over the last 20 years as Democrat leadership transitioned into communist leadership, and they've just destroyed everything. New York City isn't close now to what it was when I fell in love with it, I would guess 15 years ago. And I still love it. I'm going back again in a couple months. I love it, but it's noticeable. The decline is noticeable. The increase in homelessness and crime and drug use, and it's noticeable. But when you vote for Democrats, you vote for death and destruction. It's really that simple. I hate to put too fine a point on it, but if you vote for Democrats to run your city will rot and die. If you vote for Democrats to run your state will rot and die. If you vote for Democrats to run the United States of America, the country will rot and die. We are still suffering for 4 years of Joe Biden's insane demonic presidency, and we will probably suffer for the rest of our lives. 20 million illegals. That alone, people have died, been raped, robbed. That alone caused so much destruction. That's what happens when you vote for Democrats. But like we talked about last night, remember, for a lot of people, for a malcontent, you can point out the potential failures of the guy they're voting for. Hey, if this guy turns the subway into a homeless shelter, you know that's going to fail, right? That'll be dirty. That'll be a lot of crime. But for the malcontent, he doesn't care. He's not voting for things to work. That's not what he's going for. That's what you vote for. You vote so things will get better, don't you? You vote so your life will improve. Your country will improve. The malcontent votes for revenge. When the malcontent hears abolish private property, he doesn't even really think that he's going to be given a house. He thinks, good, take away that guy's house. That's what he votes for. And you can explain to him till you're blue in the face that the rich people will leave, that it's going to turn the place into an insane asylum, essentially, which it's already turning into. You could explain about the costs until you're blue in the face, and he may not even disagree with you. He's still going to vote that way anyway because communism sells revenge. Always sells revenge. They've never sold an economic theory. Well, if we could just take some money away from the rich and move, it's always selling revenge. Vote for me, and I'll hurt those white people. You've been oppressed. Vote for me, and I'll hurt men. Men have been mean to you, right? I'll go hurt them. Vote for me. I'll smash the church. You're gay, and you think the church doesn't like you? I'll destroy them, crumple them under my foot. It's always about revenge, and revenge motivates people. Revenge sells. You want an example? Look at Hollywood. What are some of the greatest movies ever? They're revenge movies. Man on Fire. Maybe Denzel Washington's greatest movie. Why? Why do we love that movie so much? You hurt the little girl he loved? Well, I guess now I have no choice but to put C4 up your butt and blow you up. That actually happened. That's a sweet part of the movie, by the way. But revenge. Sorry, you hurt someone? Now I have to go kill everybody. Revenge stories sell, and it sells in politics, too. It sells big time. Jesse, how long can we pretend D.C. isn't a failed state? I fear, and it makes me sick to think, that we're headed back towards an inevitable 1776 on steroids. The American person is being pushed to the brink, and your hour two yesterday really brought this home. The tension and frustration is palpable, and the American person feels like a second-class citizen. Is there even a way forward? Okay. Yes, there's a way forward. But we'll be honest about the problems in the future. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, so let's address this really quickly. The guy says, D.C.'s a failed state. Are we heading for another revolution? Americans are frustrated. One, we have huge problems, as you just laid out. Our federal government is large and evil. It's a criminal organization. I'm not denying any of that. In order to take down that criminal organization, it's going to take years and years and years and years and years of political activism from you and me, getting involved in primaries and changing the people we send to Washington, D.C. It's not easy. It's not fast. It's going to take effort and time. I get that. But if you are sitting around really down about where we are as a country, and I get this way sometimes too. You've heard me on the radio get this way before. If you are sitting around really down about where we are as a country, you need to get out of where you are physically and go see somewhere else. What I mean by that is this. Did I tell you where I was for July 4th, Independence Day? I don't think I ever did. I went up to Montana And I was in a little town called, I shouldn't even tell you because I was going to try to rent a house there next year, but now it's all booked up. Anyway, Ennis, Montana is where I went for Independence Day. Ennis, E-N-N-I-S. Tiny little place. And when we went into this place, it's surrounded by mountains. It's beautiful. It's got a beautiful lake nearby. It's awesome. I've been to Ennis several times because I grew up in Montana. So I already knew I loved Ennis, but we had heard they had a great Independence Day parade. So we went. It wasn't just the parade. Everywhere you went, there were polite, good, wonderful people who shared your values. You could have left a $100 bill on the sidewalk. It probably still would have been there in an hour in that kind of a place. And then the parade ends and everybody, it's like this tiny Western town. It's got a real Western feel to it, like old Western. Everyone goes down to all the different restaurants and there were bands playing outside and everybody was talking to everybody. And it was all about guns and God and America. And it was amazing. I've told you before about the church camp, one of the many church camps they have here in Texas, that where every single morning, all these kids, thousands of them, they go gather around the big flagpole and they pray for America as the flag raises in the morning and they pray for it again as the flag lowers at night. You can get caught up on social media, or if you are physically in a really blue area, if you're listening to me from San Diego, you know, if you're listening to me from Seattle, if you're in this blue area and you spend your time online, you can be convinced that all of America is rotted and fallen. That's not true at all. There are wonderful places all across this country. I'm not telling you to move. I've told you to move, but that's not what I'm saying right now. Get in your car and take a drive. Get out to rural America. Go see some wonderful people. It's all not gone. Yes, they have wounded us severely, and we are in some trouble. There's no question. We are not done yet. Jesse, I love your show, longtime listener. Just wondering why you, or God forbid the Republicans, don't address the Cloward Pivot strategy as laid out by a couple communists years ago from Ivy League schools. Thank you for your show. I love it. Well, I've mentioned Cloward Pivot Senate several times on the show. I don't know why I can't talk right now. I've mentioned Cloward Pivot 7 several times. I don't know why people think, well, I'll put it this way. Let me explain what Cloward Pivot is. They were two evil communist professors. And their strategy, they were trying to figure out, as all communists do, how do we destroy America? America has to be burnt down. But that's a very difficult task. We're busy trying to save it. But realize, they still have a mountain to climb. How do you tear down a country like this? So many people still value freedom. So many people value what is good. So many guns are still in this country. There's so much wealth. An unbelievable amount of money is in America. We have natural resources. We have an educated population. We have so many things that make our structure as a country extremely strong. How do you take it down? The Cloward Pivot strategy was overwhelm it. America very foolishly created entitlement programs. I don't care. Don't email me that you're mad that I said that. Your entitlement program sucks. Whatever it is. It's all awful. It's all bad. That's never the role of the federal government. Should have never happened. But America created things like entitlement programs. The plan is overwhelm those systems, and that will tear down the country. If you'd like to know what that looks like, that was what the Biden administration did when they brought in 20 million illegals. Have you ever wondered why they took it a step too far? Why would they go so far? You could have just opened the border, and that would have been terrible. It would have been bad enough, but they didn't just open the border. They opened the border and then bent over backwards to facilitate people coming here, to the point of flying illegals into the country from other countries. You paid for that. Why? Okay, maybe you could say you're a flowery liberal who just kind of wants the border open. That's wrong, but I get that. Why would you go that far? The purpose was to overwhelm the system. This was their opportunity. We didn't have an actual president. He was a cadaver. The people around him, Anita Dunn, people like that, they are dyed-in-the-wool Maoist communists with Joe Biden incapacitated and them in control of the auto pen. They saw an opportunity to implement the Cloward-Piven strategy, and they did. That's the purpose of bringing in 20 million illegals. It's not just the votes. It's not just the violent crime. Those are all benefits to communists. You can overwhelm and shatter the system. They need the system to crumble down before they can complete their revolution. That's what the revolution is all about. Hey, Jesse, are Somalians colonizers? Okay, so he's talking about, obviously, Minneapolis, and they're soon to be mayor, God forbid, but it sounds like it.
You want to know who the real threat is, Madam President? I'll give you a hint. They don't look like our chief author. They don't look like the folks up in the gallery. They don't look like the folks on the rotunda. They look like many of the members that sit in the front. And you don't have to take my word for it. According to DHS, Madam President, the greatest domestic threat facing the United States comes from, quote, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
Are they colonizers? Maybe. It depends on how you use that word. Let me explain it this way. Let's say, you know what? Pause on that for a moment. I'm going to do this email because this might take me a couple minutes. Hey, Jesse, you make me hungry with your odes to meat cooked to perfection with the aid of Chef IQ. What's the secret for cleaning up after the meat has been devoured? Or should I be directing this question to Ob? Her name is Mary. Yeah, Mary, I don't clean. No, I'm kidding. The IQ sense, the wireless cooking thermometer, I just wash them off with hot water. Now, it's scalding hot water. And sometimes, as you can imagine, if you smoke a brisket for 18 hours, it's going to be gunky, a little bit gunky. So throw a little dish soap on there, a little hot water. It's not hard. They're just these little probes. You just run them under the hot water, scrub them off, and then go charge them up again. They're amazing. It's amazing to me that they actually created this, that Chef IQ created this. A wireless cooking thermometer that you never take out. It syncs up to your phone, and really from there, you're done. Your phone will handle the rest of it. It'll tell you the temperature of the oven or the grill. It'll tell you the internal temperature. It'll give you an estimate as to when you're going to be pulling it off. And when it's time to pull it off, when it's reached desired temperature, it just tells you, beep, 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 time to pull it off. You're done. Even tells you how long to rest it. It is, it's amazing that I'm able now to cook meat as well as I am, but it's all thanks to Chef IQ. You want one? 15% off. It's called the IQ Sense. 15% off. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. Now, back to what we were briefly discussing there. Are they colonizers? The question was about Somalis, but you could make this really about any large immigrant group to any country of any kind. Are they colonizers? Kind of. Maybe. Well, I'll explain in a minute.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Before we get to, well, the rest of the emails and everything, I'm going to finish up on this answer because I knew it was going to take me a couple minutes. The guy asked, are the Somalis colonizers? I'll get to the actual nitty-gritty of that in a moment, but think about this. What if you, let's say you're a family of four, maybe you're by yourself, but let's say you're a family of four. What if you said to me, hey, Jesse, you and your family, you're welcome to come live with us. And I said, okay, all right. Only I don't show up with just me, Ob, and the boys. I show up with me, Ob, and the boys, all my aunts, all my uncles, all my cousins, all their nephews. 25 of us show up at your house. Now, even if we were the most polite, not colonizing, not conquering, the most polite people in the world, think about what would happen to your home over a long enough period of time. The food in your pantry. I mean, we all have to eat. It's 25 of us. It's four of you. Do you think the food in your pantry would change over time to our preferences instead of your preferences? Of course it would. It obviously goes well beyond the food. Everything in your life would slowly but surely change into what we want because we showed up en masse. Now, when it comes to immigration, yes, there's no question there are certain ideologies out there that are conquest ideologies. No question about it. Country after country after country has experienced this when they mass import Islam. I'm not saying every Muslim is bad or something like that. That's crazy. But if you all of a sudden bring in Islam en masse, well, they are purposeful. They are very purposeful with government, with how they live, with seizing power. If you do that, they will take over. They will. They will conquer. Some of it is simply a numbers game. You know, are you a colonizer? Well, I mean, you're Minneapolis. You brought in 50,000 of them in one shot. Call them colonizers all you want. Eventually, there's going to be a lot more halal food laying around. There just is. That's the way it goes. The problem is our politicians bringing these people in. That's the problem. The United States of America for years has been treated like the world's open sewer, and Democrats and Republicans have facilitated that at every turn. At every turn, wherever there's a problem, wherever there's a nation that's crumbling or having issues, oh, please, 100,000 of you, come on in, 20,000 here, sure. Remember they took that one town, I think it was Springfield, Ohio, I'm a little fuzzy on the details. Remember they took that one town in Ohio and they doubled the population with all Haitians? I forget what the numbers were, but it was a tiny town, something like 2,000 people, and they brought in 2,000 Haitians. Are those Haitians colonizers? I don't know. You can call them that if you want, but I'll tell you what. The town's going to get a lot more Haitian. The grocery store is going to change. Restaurants going to change. Playgrounds are going to change. Numbers don't lie. Dear birthday boy, I had no idea you shared a birthday with the alleged Apollo 11 landing on the moon. I say alleged, as after the COVID scam, I no longer believe anything the ruling class tells me, including the moon landing. What say you? All right, his name is Joe. First of all, please stop bringing up my birthday, which is on Sunday. It's my 44th birthday. I don't want to draw any more attention to it. Okay, that's one. Two, I'm all game for your theories. I don't want to even call them conspiracy theories because so many conspiracy theories, things that were labeled as conspiracy theories turned out to be true. I'm all game for those. I'm not dismissive of many of those. And I'm not calling you a moron if you believe they faked the moon landing. And I have no doubt after I have this little rant that my email is going to be full of people explaining why on Monday. And that's fine. I'll enjoy those. However, remember this always about your conspiracy theory or theory, whatever theory you have about anything. I don't care whether it's the moon landing, JFK, it doesn't matter. Remember that people cannot keep secrets. I am the only person on planet Earth, I'm convinced of this by now, who is able to keep a secret. If you tell me something, I will never repeat it, ever. On pain of death, I will not repeat it. I'm the only one on Earth. People love to talk. And when it comes to something like that, you know how many people were involved in the space program? A lot. So even if you believe they wanted to fake it, and maybe they did, by the way, even if you believe they wanted to fake it, the number of people involved is staggering. The thinking that you could keep a lid on something like that with that many people involved, not a chance. People love to talk. They would have been writing books about it eventually. They would have leaked it out there eventually. Not a chance can that many people keep a secret. That's why they always kill the people who are involved, because they understand, what's that old saying? three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead? It's a fact. It's a fact. It's also a fact that Relief Factor can take your pain away. Relief Factor is a fact, Chris. See what I did there? A little play on words. What's your problem? 100% drug-free. You know I'm all about that, and Chris isn't, but 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. The pain that drags your life down does not have to be permanent. People make this mistake when they're in pain that they just accept it eventually and say, well, it's forever. I guess my back's just always going to hurt. I guess it's just always going to, it's always going to be this way. No, reject that way of thinking. Relief Factor is here. At least give it one shot. All right. Maybe you think, oh, it won't work. Maybe you're right. How do you know without trying it? 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Just try it. If it fails, don't order anymore. You know, something like 70% of the people who order it order more. Why do you think that is? 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Okay. So, Jesse, have you released? I've been avoiding this question the whole show. Have you released the chapter addendum to your manifesto? I recall you mentioning it on several occasions, but I'm afraid I missed the release. I certainly hope that's not the case. No, there's a different case. The case is this. The publisher, I guess this is understandable, is not happy that we're going to hand out a new free chapter of the book the way I wanted to. And so the publisher said, you can't do that. Now I'm reworking it. Okay, I'm coming up with something else. I know a little something about it. I can't give it out yet. I'm going to figure out a way to get it to you, get something to you, okay? Now go enjoy your weekend. That's all.